You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE. Today is Wednesday. We have our Bible study night tonight at 7 p.m. Would love to have you come and be a part of that. We have something for young adults. We have something for the kids. We also have something for the adults. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're not just studying the book of Revelation for information. We're actually looking for principles in the Word of God that show us who Jesus is and also shows us what his plan for to deal with fallen humanity is, unrepentant fallen humanity, but also what we can implement in our daily lives. And so we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. Starting next week, that will Friday this week will end our 12th year of broadcast here on the Refresh radio program. Next Monday we'll start week 13 or year 13. And it doesn't seem like it could be that long. There's been a lot of events that have happened during that time frame, and the listeners of the Refresh radio program have helped accomplish some really great exploits. When the war broke out in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine, when it dealt with the Crimea, the listeners of the Refresh radio program gathered together and we sent a bunch of supplies, and there were people who brought supplies all the way from Sebastian because of the power of the signal of WMIE. We ended up sending about half a container filled with relief supplies all the way to Ukraine. And the way that we did it ended up setting the standard for all of the other people. When they saw how we had packaged everything, we canceled a Wednesday night service. We put everything in bags. And when the authorities... customs saw how we had packaged it, that was the way that everybody else had to start packaging it after that. So I tell you that story because this week is the fundraiser, the fall offering for WMIE. The phone number is 321-632-1000. It's not just that the gospel goes forth, but there are a lot of efforts that come together. Whenever, I believe it was Hurricane Matthew and came through, there were a lot of listeners to the Refresh radio program that came out and helped us unload two tractor trailers worth of hurricane supplies. Those invitations would not have gone out. Those projects would not have been accomplished had it not been for WMIE. And so I would like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with WMIE over a 6-month period of time to make sure that all of the infrastructure needs are met so that the gospel can continue to go forth and that ministry can continue to take place throughout Brevard County here. It may not get a lot of fanfare. It may not get a lot of notoriety. We're not necessarily trying to get the attention of you know, the national media or the local media or anything. We're trying to make sure that God is glorified. And WMIE in the radio program helps facilitate that. So if you would prayerfully consider partnering with them for the next 6 months, that would be fantastic. 321-632-1000. And we appreciate you. Let's go back to Psalm 106. Psalm 106 says, we have sinned with our, this verse number six, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. So we had focused yesterday primarily on our fathers did not understand your wonders. It's very important for us to not only be aware of what God is doing, but to also understand what's going on with those activities. God did not choose Israel because it was the biggest nation. It was one of the smallest nations. But Abraham was the father of faith. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And as such, that the blessings of Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham, passed on down through Isaac and to Jacob and to all of the nation of Israel. And it's important for us to realize that God does things in our midst that we are incapable of doing. I am not minimizing in any way, shape, or form the capabilities that men have or that women have. You can do some amazing things. The Bible talks about God gives us the ability to produce wealth. He gives, you know, Solomon writes about all of the great exploits in the book of Ecclesiastes that he was able to accomplish, but yet there was still this thing about Solomon that with everything that was done, that you needed to fear God and keep his commandments. You needed to keep God at the pinnacle of your life, at the center of your life. And so don't just forget about the good things and the supernatural things that God has done. Too many times we want to limit God with our own limitations and say, well, I can't do that, so therefore God must not be able to do that. And I believe that God is still in the miracle-working business. So we need to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as we possibly can. It says, not only did they not understand God's wonders, but they didn't remember the multitude of his mercies. And we have to remember that the mercy of God is brand new each and every day. So we need to remember that. Verse 7 concludes, but they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. If you remember, there was the Red Sea, then there was the children of Israel, and then there was Pharaoh's army that was coming to wipe out Israel because they said they have hemmed themselves in. They have positioned themselves strategically in a manner that is going to lead to us being able to wipe them out. So what the Egyptians once viewed as an essential element for them to withstand any enemy attack, now they're looking at them as the enemy themselves. And the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army said, we're going to go and wipe them out. And the children of Israel responded by doing what they did best. They started moaning and groaning and complaining. And God gave divine instruction to Moses as to how to proceed, even in the midst of the children of Israel what is described here as rebelling by the sea. They weren't rebelling against Pharaoh. They were rebelling against God. And God, in his mercy, parted the Red Sea. And it says that he saved them for his namesake. A lot of times we look at situations and it's not hard to find people in need. And we exist as a church to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to our community. That's the sequence that we need to be able to be a blessing in. And so we want to try and meet as many needs as we possibly can, but we need to remember that God does great exploits and moves on behalf of people for the sake of his name. I tell you stories about commercials I've seen, and I remember parts of the commercial, but I don't remember the product. There's a commercial that I saw that said that, you know, there's a lot of problems in the world today, and it's a bad day to be a problem, because it started off as talking about how big the problems were, but then because of the day and the time that we live, and now problems can be solved at a faster rate than ever before, that is a bad day to be a problem. And the message was, be a problem solver. I couldn't tell you what the product was, but I remembered that message to be a problem solver. And, you know, much like that commercial where I don't remember the product, but I remember the message, I don't care if people remember me, as long as they remember that the supernatural wonders and the divine intervention in their lives was for the name of the Lord. That it was done in Jesus' name, that it was done for the glory of Jesus. And the truth of the matter is this: God doesn't love humanity because humanity is perfect. He loves humanity in spite of our imperfection. I've had some conversations through the years with other ministers, and you know, you might think that when we're going through life that we don't face any challenges or any peaks and valleys or disappointments or fatigue or anything like that, you would be wrong. We face the same challenges that everyone else does. And there have been times when God has moved supernaturally through my life when I had nothing to bring to the table except for an obedient heart. There's been times when God has given some extraordinary answers to prayer when I was emotionally drained. And, you know, I put this passage to work about understanding his wonders. And I started asking, God, what is it you want to teach me about this? And that is, and here's what God, you know, quickened to my spirit, if you will. And that is this: he gave me the faith that I have so I could put it in him. It doesn't matter about what my emotions feel like or what, external things may be going on in my life, if there is a human in need, that God is able to do great exploits for the sake of his name, in spite of my weakness and in spite of, you know, my fatigue or emotions being spent, whatever, God will still do great things because it's not based on my resources, it's based on his resources. So we've been saved for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege. To be able to testify that all that has been done for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also, it says, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. So it was probably 2 or 3 years ago when I think it's more like 2, but it could be 3 because time flies when you're having fun, that I preached a message titled Nevertheless God. And it might have sounded a little different than what my normal messages do, but I looked up all the references that it said nevertheless, and one of them was nevertheless God. Here it says nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake. And the point I wanted to communicate to the congregation in that message was, no matter how big the mountain you are facing, God will never be the less of the problem or God. God's always going to be greater. If you are dealing with temptation, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God is greater. And whatever valley you may be going through, whatever giant you might be facing, you will never find God to be the lesser of the two individuals that are at that point of contention. God is the greatest. He is the utmost. And I don't know what you're facing right now, but don't forget to factor in God into the equation. We had some wonderful testimonies that were shared recently in church. There were some family breakthroughs. There was some physical transformations that have taken place. And we're very, very, very thankful for that. But it's never been about, you know, hey, God did this miracle through me. It's just always been God did this miracle. God did this miracle. And God gets all the glory because he wants to make his mighty power known. I tell the story of when I was at the church a very short period of time, and a friend of mine, I was talking to him. I said, we need some, you know, commercial paper towel holders. We were spending a lot of money on paper towels. By the way, a little plug to my, of thanks to my wife. She found a way to, buy some, brand new washcloths, in a bulk amount for just a few dollars. And it's really cut back on the number of paper towels that we've needed to use. We just wash them and use them, and they ever get stained to the point that, you know, you don't want to use them for what you bought them for anymore. You just throw them away and you buy some more, and it saved a lot of money on paper towels through the years. So we were, as a church, we were needing some paper towel holders. Now you got to remember, this goes back almost 33 years. And, I go and I talk to this guy, and he says, Now tell me about your God. And if you tell me you have, you're serving a puny God and you know, that he's not able to do much, he said, don't waste your breath, because I'm not interested in partnering with some weak, small, insignificant, incapable God. Now, if you tell me that your God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine, he says, if you tell me that God can take you from where you are to places you can't even comprehend of right now, he said, that's something that I can get behind. And so I told him, you know, some of the things that we had gone through, some of the things we were going through, and he blessed us. He literally just gave us the paper towel dispensers that we needed, and they served us for about 2 decades. And it was because people need to know in 2025 that God still wants to make his mighty power known. He still wants it to be known that no weapon formed against him or his people is going to prosper, that the plans of the enemy will come to nothing, that giants, in spite of their bluster, will not be able to continue to defy the armies of the living God, that God's wisdom will continue to confound the wisdom of the wise, and he will make them regret their decisions. God wants to make his mighty power known. And I believe that he wants to make his mighty power known in the lives of his followers. I believe he wants to make his mighty power known when his followers gather together so that they can pray and see God do great exploits, not just in the church, but outside the four walls of the church as well. So there are four things here in verses 9 through 11 that it says that God did, because nevertheless he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power known. Number 9, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. The first thing that I want to share is that God rebuked the thing that was standing between the people of God and their deliverance from their bondage. He rebuked it. There's a phrase, it happens twice. I believe it happens once in the book of Zechariah, and then it also happens in the little epistle of Jude. And in Jude, it says in verse number 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now in Zechariah, it talks about that the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Here's what I want to say. When God rebukes you, you are rebuked. The battle between Michael the archangel over the body of Moses and Satan, when God says, you're rebuked, you're rebuked. And what a wonderful privilege it is to have God be able to speak on our behalf. So it says here, he rebuked the Red Sea. It was the thing, you know, that was larger than life, but it wasn't larger than God. And God put a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day in between Pharaoh's army and the children of Israel. And he rebuked the Red Sea. It parted. He dried up the ground, and the children of Israel walked over on dry ground. I'm here to tell you that whatever problem you are facing, you need a word from God that is going to solve that problem in ways that you can't even imagine. He rebuked them, or he rebuked the waters. He rebuked the barrier that they needed to go through. And then he led them. He led them through the depths and he led them through the wilderness. A lot of people want God to solve their problem. A lot of people want God to come in, deliver them, save them, get them out of the mess. But when it comes to God's leading in their lives, they're not on board with that. They want to keep their hand on the steering wheel. They want to keep control. And I will tell you, from what I have experienced in my life and in the lives of a lot of people, is that whenever we try and control our lives, we make a big mess. And the longer we sit in the driver's seat, the bigger mess we make. The solution to that is to put God on the throne, where he so richly deserves to be. And rather than us trying to tell him how to do his job, we need to allow him to lead us. He says he led them and he saved them from the hand of those who hated them. I don't know if you have many enemies. You know, you watch cop shows and things like that, and where they're trying to solve a murder and they say, did he have any enemies? This is going to sound strange. I hope you have spiritual enemies. I hope that you are so in love with Jesus that as you are walking with him, that the enemy of God wakes up every morning and realizes that he does not want you to succeed in what you do. But you get up every morning and say, God, what do you have for me to do today? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to walk in obedience. And so I want you to know that God will save you from spiritual forces that have hostile intent towards you. And the last thing it says, he redeemed them. He redeemed them. You did not save yourself. I did not save myself. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the authority to speak in our life. He is the only one competent to lead us. He is our only Savior. He is the one who redeemed us. And he does it for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. I'm just going to pray a quick prayer. Lord, would you move in the lives of believers here in Brevard County in such a way, God, that supernatural demonstrations of your might and your power take place, that people would know that Jesus is alive and well in Brevard County. God, we want your name to be known. You have a blessed day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
said.